What is an entrepreneur, or is it just a buzzword? The term has certainly become a buzzword, evoking innovation, creativity, and the next big thing. But how do entrepreneurs really contribute to our communities? Do we really need them? This is an abridged episode of Why We Need Entrepreneurs from the Entrepreneurship Track for Neighborhood Economics. I'm Rosalie Harden, Executive Producer of Faith and Finance. Welcome to our show. In this season, we're presenting our Neighborhood Economics Healing Our Communities virtual event, which was held in November of 2020. Economies of interdependence are emerging all around us, and Neighborhood Economics brought together entrepreneurs and changemakers, developers and storytellers, pastors and impact investors, all to share where their communities are finding hope and a new way forward. This session was moderated by Beth Ludlam, Vice President of Strategic Initiatives at Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. She was joined in conversation by Stephen Lewis, founder of Do Good X, which supports early-stage social entrepreneurs using accelerator program; Kit Evans Ford, founder of Argros House, a center of financial, spiritual, and emotional support for women survivors of abuse; and Jeff Scheinebarger, founder and executive director of Plywood People, a foundation for startups and entrepreneurs in Atlanta. The full session of Why We Need Entrepreneurs is available for purchase, along with the rest of the Neighborhood Economics Conference at community.faithfinance.net. I hope you enjoy their conversation.
Now, I want to get to the central kind of driving premise of this entire session is why our neighborhoods need entrepreneurs. And yet, as Stephen has suggested earlier, I think we're going to start by problematizing that question, to steal his words, and really ask, do our neighborhoods need entrepreneurs? And if so, what kind of entrepreneurs do our neighborhoods need? Stephen, do you want to start off by taking a stab at those questions? Oh, you're muted, Stephen.
So what I would just really kind of bring all people's attention back to is really the opening remarks from our keynote, which was from Dr. Willie Jennings. And he says this, you know, that we live in a country that's in the midst of violent geography formed at the nexus of race and greed. That the country's building project is done on the backs of Black slaves and bodies of indigenous people. And that we've never reckoned with the habits of building woven deeply in the American psyche. And so he starts by asking a question, but I'm going to turn to a statement, which is to say that our neighborhoods can be, or maybe more explicitly, our neighborhoods are immoral in the ways that they are conceived, the ways that they are built, torn down, rebuilt, structured, and or designed. That our neighborhoods can be, or they're immoral in the ways in which they're conceived, built, torn down, structured, and or designed. And if that's the case, I also believe that too often, the majority of entrepreneurs are shaped and formed by these same kind of immoral forces that oftentimes, you know, placate our country's reality. And so the result is that most funded and sustained entrepreneur endeavors address business or neighborhood development needs, problems, and interests that mostly middle, upper-class white entrepreneurs care about. So if that's the case, then I would say, no, we don't need more of the kind of entrepreneurship that reinforces the kind of immorality of the ways in which we build community, how we access resources, how resources have been inherited by particularly a field that is dominated by mostly white folks in general, white men in particularly, to start their businesses and to continue a kind of perpetuation of, even in the name of trying to do good. But I would say, yes, we do need entrepreneurship that reflects another kind of neighborhood or sense of belongingness. And we can go further into that, but that's where I would begin my remarks.
Thank you, Stephen, for that very thoughtful and bold proclamation. I think you're exactly right. Jeff or Kit, I wonder if either one of you want to respond to that or talk a little bit more about the types of entrepreneurs you've worked with in neighborhoods or what that means to you.
Thank you, Stephen, for sharing your wisdom. I think there are a couple things that I think about. I think being a African-American female entrepreneur, you know, in the state, in Iowa, you know, right on the border of Illinois and Iowa, I think by just being a presence that is continuing to move forward and aspire and speak about how entrepreneurship can be used to make money, but also to do good in the world. It sets a really positive example for minorities and also women within my community. It's interesting, no pressure, right? but I think for me, being one that works with survivors of trauma every day, I see how entrepreneurship helps to, build confidence amongst the women. It builds what we're doing as far as our product making, because we take really a lot of pride in what we do. We work to create the best possible ingredients by having the best possible, mentorship that we could have. We have a mentor from the Caribbean that helps us with our natural recipes. I see how the entrepreneurship piece also helps us to have a level of independence that's really liberating for us as an organization, but also for the women that we serve. Though they are going through intense times, they're really proud to be a part of something that can sustain itself without being dependent on, others. Even though we appreciate donations, we appreciate grants, we've really been able to move forward because of the profit from our business. And so you see these women come together from all different backgrounds, ethnicities, ages, and though they have a traumatic past, they come and they unite into a community that's really proud to be a part of something that is self-sustaining, that creates something beautiful and also brings back income for them, but also for other women that need assistance in the community. So we see that. We see how, depending on when the woman comes into our growth house, you see communities within the community formed. And you also see our home, our space, even though it's our business and our healing house, it's also a part of a larger community. So in the midst, and we live in a neighborhood, our first house is in, because we have humble beginnings, our first house is in a area where, sometimes there may be violence on the corner. There may be, it's mostly predominantly African American and Latina, and low income, this first home. And so to bring a home that you can smell all of this goodness, radiating from the home, but a home of hope, in the midst of a community that may be seen as lower class or as violent or, as something that isn't as nurturing within a community. That's been really powerful to kind of transform our block in that way. As far as the neighborhoods forming and transforming, I think when you are an entrepreneur and a social entrepreneur, that you literally, your presence and your energy, your drive, and even the smells from our products, helps to bring a level of healing and hope in the midst of communal pain as well.
That's a powerful, powerful image, and of that house of hope and even the smells emanating from it, right? And how that seeps into the neighborhood. Thank you for sharing that. Jeff, as a white guy moving into West End, right? But you've had a ton of experience thinking about neighborhood entrepreneurs, how to foster some of that diversity and inclusion that Stephen has alluded to as essential to the types of entrepreneurs that we need. What have you experienced in that experience of becoming a neighbor, of building neighborhood or building community? And what does that mean to you to build neighborhood entrepreneurs?
Yeah, well, it's a hard question to answer. I mean, I wouldn't say that I have a ton of experience in this. I would say I have a story of being a white guy moving into a historically black neighborhood and realizing that there's a beautiful neighborhood here already, and I was joining their neighborhood. I'm not trying to change the neighborhood. And learning about the entrepreneurship already happening in the neighborhood. And then trying to figure out what the community that we bring from a different space and time and era, what that looks like in collaboration. And so it took like, I feel like I've been learning a lot the last couple of years as we've done this. We just opened our space in this neighborhood back in March, 2 weeks before COVID hit. Like, it was like the worst time ever to open a co-working space. But it's been beautiful. I mean, I think what's interesting, in a pre-conversation we had last week, Beth, you kind of asked about, like, you know, should we be promoting entrepreneurship in neighborhoods, all stuff. I'm like, every neighborhood, every good neighborhood I've been in, entrepreneurship exists already. It's there. It might not always look like what the white guy imagines entrepreneurship. It's not a series, you know, some big round of series investment or whatever. It's like, it's scrappy, it's real, it's actual, true, on the street entrepreneurship. I mean, in our neighborhood, there's this corner where so many boys, they sell bottled water on the corner, and the city of Atlanta tried to stop them from selling bottled water on the corner. It became this whole big story in our city. And it's like, no, they're part of the ecosystem. They're part of this neighborhood that makes this place beautiful and amazing, and they're hustling, and they're not doing anything wrong. They're just trying to make some money that day, you know? And so I think it is a challenge, though, like, as cities become more and more dense, and so many people want to maximize that density for their own pocketbooks, then it creates interesting conversations around entrepreneurship about what is a successful entrepreneur look like, you know? And how do you do that in a collaborative way? In our co-working, I would say this too, like, in our situation here, what's been amazing is, historically, I would say our community was generally white. I'm a white leader. As a white guy, this is probably who I attract, you know, for better or for worse. And making this move into this neighborhood in a very healthy way, meeting with community associations, doing the hard work of making relationships, trying to listen to our neighbors, not trying to take over what happens here. If you were to walk into our space, it's a micro story of the neighborhood. There's all different ages, and there's all different ethnicities, and there's all different people, types, and industries represented in our building. And that, to me, is like, it's like we have this micro neighborhood within the neighborhood of each other helping each other to see things from different perspectives and grow each other's businesses. So it's been beautiful. I've learned, I think, more than ever, that proximity plays such an important role in how you see the world and in what you create and what you make and how you build businesses and how you view financing. And it's like, who you are neighbors with, who you are in relationship with, makes you see the world in a different way, a bigger way, hopefully.
Thank you for listening to the session, Why We Need Entrepreneurs, from Neighborhood Economics, Healing Our Communities. The session was moderated by Beth Ludlam and featured Stephen Lewis, Kit Evans-Ford, and Jeff Scheinebarger. The full session of Why We Need Entrepreneurs is available for purchase, along with the rest of the Neighborhood Economics Conference, at community.faithfinance.net. For more information about Faith Finance, be sure to follow us on Twitter at FaithFinanceNet or visit our website at faithfinance.net. Next up, music by David Benjamin Blower. David was our musical guest artist for Neighborhood Economics. You can find more of his music at davidbenjaminblower.com. I hope you enjoy, and again, thank you for listening.
Everything is changed, all doth run its course. The present fears nothing more than a Trojan horse. Ye who stake your existence on borders and walls, the emerging future is among you, yes, within us all. Everything is changed, be still and listen. Can you hear the air quietly hissing out somewhere, blowing in your head? Stare at nothing for a moment, don't even think. The world inflated around you is all going limp. Everything is as it ever was, only more so. Behold all of thy gods, same as these years ago. And the screen is a Berlin Wall between us all and the show. Yesterday's entertainment is tomorrow's government, so everything is as it ever was, only more so. The virtues that held back the weather discharged long time ago. And all you terrified zealots disvote your messiah to the throne. One criminal gang for another, you all make your deals with Rome. Everything is strange, and who here moved the peace that began the rearrangement of all things from west to east? Behold the readjustment of all those who said they knew, and all the listless players that don't know what to do. Everything is strange, and who now knows the rules? Still hammering the present crises with a box of yesterday's tools. Who still hopes down telescopes upon this ship of fools? Who's still looking for the promised land to drill for fossil fuels? Everything is under strain. Where now are thy failing gods? Trapped in the black mirror, in flight and dropping bombs. Behind fences lined with wire, policed by guards with dogs. Sat down in the seats of power, oh, you go tell that fox. Everything is under strain. Death and worms in the royal box. Oh, you anxious clouds will be your lightning rods. Scapegoat the wanderers for your decline and fall. What else is crucifixion but your loss of control? Everything is in pain, so many tears unshed. There'll be no reparations, there'll be no justice yet. And all that has been taken, that never shall be returned. And all that has been broken, forever shall bear the wounds. everything is in pain. Gather ye round the past, for all the noble industries that never shall be resparked, and all the lost identities is thrown beneath the wheels, and all the ancient slaveries that shall not be healed. Shed tears forever, oh let them never end, for how many tears shall we say for this sorrow is spent? And when you've wept until you know there are not tears enough, then shall ye be ready to turn and face the rising sun. Then shall ye be ready to turn about from that before. Then shall you end your lust for victories in this fruitless war. Then shall you end your hopes of saving what you thought was yours. Then shall you turn and see a future which belongs to none and all.